Lord, we come in thy presence right now, and Lord, knowing that you are a holy God, Lord, we want to take a moment, Lord, to just reflect on the very beauty of your holiness. Lord, may I never come into thy presence without first acknowledging that you are holy. Lord, may we as a fellowship, Lord, unite our hearts together to worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, to be able to magnify the name of Jesus, the very Lord of hosts. Lord, you are exalted and lifted up above all power and all principality. Lord, you say all thy works shall praise thee. And Lord, I am one of your created works. So Lord, I pray that praise will continue to go forth from my lips and my mouth for you. But Lord, I pray that our lives, my life, will be an act of praise. Lord, may we walk together today. Lord, how can you and I be agreed unless, Lord, we walk together? And Lord, we pray that through this service that, Lord, you will walk with us today. That through the power of your divine spirit, Lord, that you will open up the word of God and open our eyes to see. Lord, you will open our ears to hear with understanding. And I pray that our life will be surrendered over to you. May we tremble before you and your word. And Lord, I pray that each one of us have come to hear a word, and we pray as you are always faithful to deliver, that Lord, you will proclaim truth today, that Lord, you will hide us all, that we may see nothing but Jesus, and let us see him high and lifted up. We praise you now, we exalt you, and Lord, we just want to just magnify thy holy name, and just say we love you. Help us to be obedient. May we be caused of you to walk in your way. And I praise you now for gathering us together on your day.
Lord, we love singing and declaring, Lord, how great and awesome that you are. And Lord, we love singing these praise to about you. And Lord, we want to take a moment right now just to talk with you. And Lord, say that we do love you. And Lord, we do ask you now to take this time of this service and pray that we not rush through it, Lord, because of our wants, our desires. But I pray that you have your way with us, that, Lord, you mold and make us today. I pray that someone has come to truly experience Jesus, to bear witness to the very truth, to live a lifestyle of worship, that we worship you, that we bring glory to your name, that, Lord, we praise you, Lord, that we delight ourselves in your word. Father, guide us. Send forth your light. Send forth your truth. May it lead us. May it bring us to the altar of God, that he may present us faultless with exceeding joy before your very throne. We praise you now and say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Haggai. Haggai, we're going to continue to look at this book over the next couple of weeks as God leads us. And I want to tell you, if you don't come to Sunday night services, I want to be honest with you, you missed the very best service that we have. Now, Wednesday night is a great service. I love Wednesday night. But if you miss Sunday nights, it's the best service. You're missing the best one, huh, Brother Eddie? On Sunday, for sure. But we could say, I wish we could say every service is the best and it gets better and better. If we expected Jesus all the time, I really believe that we'd be able to say that. And I'm not talking about just a select few. I'm not talking about Brother Eddie just expecting him or me expecting him or just a couple people. I'm talking about all of us expecting Jesus to do great and mighty, wonderful works with us in our life. Haggai chapter number 1. We'll continue to look. And as you are turning there, if you will look on the back of your bulletin, there are a spot for you to write notes, to jot down a few things. Last week we asked some questions, and I pray that you were honest in that time of questioning, that God allowed you to be honest with Him, because that is so important, to be truthful and honest with the Lord. And when we are truthful and honest with Him, I want to tell you that He is always truthful and honest to us. But it's amazing what He will do in your life. And I want to ask you another question or two that says, does Jesus want me? Write that down. Say, does Jesus really want me? Does Jesus want me? Question number two, do I want Jesus? Do I really want Jesus? Question number three, do I have all that Jesus is for me? Do I have all that Jesus is for me? If I don't, number four, what is it that's preventing Him from having me? Because if you've been born again, you've been washed by the precious blood of Jesus, the Scripture says that He and the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will come and live in you. And what He wants is all of you. We get all Him, amen. He just wants all of us. Really, that's what He's looking for. If I don't, what is it that is preventing Him from having me? Some of y'all look cold. Y'all cold? Some of you are hot, fanning, some are cold. I tell you. I'm going to take off my coat. I was thinking this past week about worship. And worship, truly, in all honesty, means that we are bearing witness to the truth. That's what true worship is really all about. Jesus Christ is our example. Nobody else gives us an example any better than what worship is about. Matter of fact, Jesus is our goal. Jesus is the example that we should live by, that we should strive to walk with, that we should strive to follow. Not any particular man, not any particular character in the Bible. They're all laid out for examples for us, showing that God uses common men to do great and mighty things. But the thing is, a lot of us are waiting till that great and mighty thing happens before we do anything, but God wants us to take the very everyday little things and live for Him, and when He brings something great, we're already prepared to do a great thing for Him. Because it's more about the little things that He does in our life that amount to great things than looking for that one particular thing, Brother Steve. It's every day. And what true worship is exactly what Jesus said in John chapter 18. In John chapter 18 and verse number 37, Pilate asked Him a question. If He was a king, and where was His kingdom? And Jesus said, you rightly said, I am a king and my kingdom is not of here. I have come for this cause, and the cause was is to bear witness to the truth. And when we live a lifestyle of worship, and I'm not talking about on Sundays, it's part of it, but I'm talking about every day of your life. That is what worship is. Jesus is the example, because if He did not live a lifestyle of worship, Jesus would have been a sinner. We know Jesus wasn't a sinner. He was the sinless sacrifice, the Lamb that went to the cross of Calvary to die for me and you, and He teaches us to lay down our life in this way, in the same manner. To lay down. Matter of fact, He says, if any man follow Him or come after Him, he must deny himself. He must deny himself, bear his cross, and follow Him. What He's saying is that we must bear witness to the truth in all manner of our life. And that's what worship is, because it's when bearing witness to the truth, we prove that God's will or God's word is exactly the way He has laid it out. It's a lifestyle. But so many times we do gather, and I want to tell you, I love gathering together in fellowshipping with one another and having the opportunity to sing and let worship flow from us. But unless I've met with Jesus every day this week, I will not worship Him today. I must live for Him every day of my life. Now I want to tell you, if you haven't, you can begin today. That's the great thing with God. You can start today. But it's something that we must do every day. It's a lifestyle. It's bearing witness to the truth. All our life is laid out for Him. Now what happens if we don't live a lifestyle of worship and we gather together on Sundays or Sunday night or Wednesday, whenever it is, I mean whatever occasion, what happens is that we'll walk out of a service and say, well, I really didn't care for the music, I sure didn't like what the preacher had to say, and I really didn't care for it, and I was unfulfilled in all that I did. What worship is, it should be an overflow of what we experienced with God this past week. But how many of you ever watched, and I want to, this is what God showed me this week, how many of you ever watched WWF? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't act crazy. It's called World Wrestling Federation. Either you love it or you hate it, plain and simple. Either you're for it or you're against it. There's no in the middle there. But I can remember as a little boy, it used to come on and we would get a kick out of it. It would come on, it used to be called Mid-South Wrestling back then. Couldn't get it on a regular television. Now what happened, I can remember watching it, and my daddy was a rough character, a rough fella, and taught us how to try to take care of ourselves, and taught us how to fight. And I always learned, even as a little boy, if you hit somebody in the face, and you hit them good, normally it was going to be a little blood, Brother Ralph. That's normally how it worked out. But I would watch this wrestling, and there was never no bloodshed. I mean giants up there, Brother Mike. These fellas got arm-sized oak limbs, and they hitting one another, and ain't never no blood. It didn't take me long to figure out that it was, what? It was fake. The other day I was meeting with a couple of pastors and we had been praying for revival in our community. We were praying that God would raise up men in the pulpit to preach truth, to live truth, and we were praying for our churches to be revived by God, that God would sweep through our land and revive us. We need to be revived. And one of the pastors said, he was sharing a little story about a church member that was actually resisting and causing some great conflict in their fellowship. And he said, the flesh of me wants to, he said, I grew up watching wrestling. And the flesh of me wants to put a move on them, Brother Mike. He said, I just want a body slammer sometimes. He said, but I know that's not the Spirit of God working in me. That's just the flesh wanting to come out. Now, y'all laugh, but you can relate. I know. And one of the other pastors looked over at him and he said, have you ever realized that that might be fake? And he started laughing about it. And immediately the thought came to my mind and I said, you know how often that our worship on Sundays is faked? Because we didn't worship God Monday through Friday. Monday through Saturday. Sunday to Sunday. Meaning every day, however you want to classify it. And I got to thinking, I said, you know, either you hate wrestling or you love it. I don't care for it. It's fake. It's a bunch of baloney. But at the same time, I thought about WWF. What would it sound like? And I believe that the demons of hell gather around churches all around America. And they take up their seats on Sunday. And they watch WWF. You know what it stands for? They watch worship faked. Is what they do. And they just sit back and watch. And they are so entertained by the churches and by the people that fake their worship. I was looking at something the other day and I found this. And I'm going to read it to you. Says someone has calculated how a typical lifespan of 70 years is spent. Here is the estimate. It says 70 years, it says they sleep approximately 23 years. 32.9% of their life is spent sleeping. Sleeping. 23 years. Work 16 years. 22.8%. In front of the television, 8 years. Eating, six years worth of eating. In America, that's for sure now. Travel, 6 years worth of traveling. Leisure time, 4.5 years. Illness, 4 years. Getting dressed, 2 years. Religion, half a year in a 70-year lifespan. Y'all hear that? It's been broken down and calculated that we sleep out of a 7-year lifespan, 23 years of 70 years, which is probably true. All these, work about 16 years, TV 8 years, eating 6 years, travel 6 years, leisure 4.5, illness 4, dressing 2 years worth of dressing in 70 years, and religion. Now, give and take, now this is not, this is on the average. Now, we know some spend a whole lot more dressing, right, than others. Some spend more eating. Some spend more, I tell you, as a pastor, you find out some folks are more ill than they are good all the time. And but for religion and service of the Lord, 0.5 years. Half of a year out of 70 years, if you tallied it up. We got a lot of folk that are Sunday morning worshipers. Spend about an hour in service, and that's about it. And sleep, 23 years. I tell you, as a parent, a lot of times parents say because of school, we want to get our kids home on Sunday nights because they need to get some rest for school. What are we teaching our kids more important? School or the service of the Lord? What is it? Plain and simple. What's more important? Jesus? I mean, we get enough sleep, don't we, Brother C.W.? Can you? But what is the most important thing? And that is our problem today with our priorities, and that was the problem of the people of Israel in Haggai's day. Their priorities were just not right, was not in order. So they served self rather than the Lord who redeemed them. And in this first message that we'll see in chapter 1 through verse number 11 is the priorities of people. But in verse number 12, through the closing of this chapter, of chapter 1, we see the prescription of power. The prescription of power. And what is that? The Lord says in the first message through Haggai, He says, be honest with your worship. It wasn't where it needed to be. And in the next message, the prescription of power, He says, be helped. And where do we help that? In obeying the Word of God. When the people obeyed the Word of God, which is always the prescription for power, is obedience. Just obeying the voice of God. When we obey the voice of God, glory, hallelujah, what happens? That is the most important thing that we can ever do, is obey the voice of God. Jesus cried from the cross of Calvary. That cry was, come to me, you need to be redeemed. We hear that cry, we come, we're born again, give our life over to Him, repent, believe upon Him on faith. And every step of the way, He commands us and demands us to obey His voice. It's not a recommendation. It's not if you want to or not to. He demands us to obey His voice. It's a demand. And that is the prescription for power, is obeying the voice of God. And it's to be helped, the Word of God. And He says in verse number 12, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the heart of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of King Darius. Now we've seen the first message in chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, in the 2nd year of King Darius, in the 6th month, on the 1st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. Now look over in verse number 15. It says, on the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of King Darius, they obeyed the voice. Haggai gave the message on the 1st day of the month. 23 days later, they finally decided that they would heed the message that God brought. And 23 days later, God gave them another word when they obeyed. And what was the word? I am with you. Amen. And praise God, when we obey the voice of God, when we obey the voice, you know what we put first? We put the commandment of God first, and that is to love the Lord with all our heart. You see, in Deuteronomy 6 and throughout the Scriptures, Mark chapter 12, we see that Jesus said, "Hear, O Israel, for the Lord your God, He is one. Love Him with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul. Matter of fact, just with everything that you have, love Him." Because the question was asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? And the gentleman understood this. He knew what the Word of God said. I got a message that I preached called Conversations with Jesus. And the man had a conversation with Jesus. He was a scribe, one that was skilled in the Word of God, one that was skilled in God's law, in God's Word. And they knew what they would wind up doing, and they did this in Jesus' day. They would take these wraps, and they would wrap it around their arm, and they would wrap it on their forehead, and they would put the Word of God in these little bitty things that was made out of skin, animal skin, and they would handwrite them, and they would take and they would put it in, but they would take it and they would put it in there, and they would put it on their forehead, and they would put it on their arm. And then they had a little spot they would put on their doorpost when they would walk out. Let me tell you why they done that. Because the Word of God demanded or commanded them to take and put the Word, hide the Word of God in their mind, hide it away, put it in, and make it on their hand. It says, don't turn from it from the right hand or to the left. Put it on the doorpost, put it over your windows, put it everywhere you go where you'll have the Word of God. He said, bind it on your hand and bind it on your forehead. And they took it literally and made up this particular thing and bound it on their hand. But literally, that's not what God was telling them to do. God was telling them what we talked about this morning. Wait upon the Lord. The word means bound. Bind the word. Bind God. Wait on God. Twist God so much in your life. Make Him so much real. Make Him real. Put Him before you in all things. Bind Him on your right hand. Bind Him on your forehead. Bind Him on your house. So that when you go in, you don't depart from the right hand to the left, but you'll walk with the Lord everywhere you go. So the people in that day, they went a different route. But the words that they would put in there were several different passages, but one in particular was this. Deuteronomy 6. It's called the Shema. The word Shema means hear. And we've been talking a little bit about hearing the voice of God, hearing God. Why? Because that's the most essential element of our walk, is hearing God. And if I don't hear God, I've not been born again of God. Because He says, my sheep, what? Hear my voice. Plain and simple. That's God's Word. He says, my sheep, hear my voice. And He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one God. Love Him with all that you are. And He told this to this scribe that knew the Word of God. He asked Jesus, how can I inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, if you want to be made perfect, He says, what does the commandment say? And Jesus told him there's two commandments, to love the Lord and to love your neighbor as yourself. And the scribe, understanding that Jesus answered the question right, he says, teacher, you done well. That's true. The Lord God is one, and you ought to love Him with all that you are. You ought to love your neighbor as yourself. Matter of fact, it covers everything. It's more than a sacrifice that we could ever offer the Lord. That's it. And Jesus' response back to him was this, because he saw that he answered wisely. And he says, you've answered wisely. He says, you're not far from the kingdom of God. Do this, and you shall be made perfect. You see, he knew it. He heard about it. He had it bound on his wrist and on his forehead. But that's as far as it went, right here. It had never changed him. And this one scribe asked this question. He tried to justify himself. He said, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, remember the story about the Good Samaritan? That's the guy he was talking to, sharing this with. Why? Because there was racism there. There was problems there. And Jesus took it to the heart of it and says, if you know the answer, but if you can't love your brother, your neighbor, which is all people, he says, you haven't heard the voice of God yet. And you're not part of His sheepfold. You have not been born again. You have not been made perfect yet. And that's so essential to hear the voice of God. And I want to tell you, every time we resist and not respond when God leads us and moves us by His Spirit, our heart is more hardened. And it becomes more and more difficult to hear. Our heart becomes hardened at the voice of God. When God says, step out and move, we need to move. We don't reason with God. He is God, amen. I'm not. I don't fool around with God. And I need to believe what God says is true is true. And I don't need to justify why people are not serving the Lord. I don't need to try to give them their excuses. I don't need to give an excuse why I'm not serving the Lord or what's going on. Because the Scripture says, he that justifies the wicked, an evil messenger will be sent against him. Proverbs 17. And we've got too many people justifying why folks are not serving Jesus. Well, I could understand they got little kids. That's baloney. Well, I could understand they got a big workload. Baloney. What comes first? Who comes first? Jesus does. Well, I can understand they got big tests going on at school. Who comes first? Jesus. Because what happened, and a lot of times, people, you'll hear this, too, all throughout a community. Oh, the reason why people don't go to the church, they don't like that Sunday school. Or, oh, the reason they don't go to church, they don't like that preacher. Oh, the reason they don't go to church, they don't like that singing. I want to tell you what, you know what you're doing? You are justifying the way of the wicked and condemning the way of the righteous. And God says, you better watch out because I'll send an evil messenger against you. You see, the children of Israel had an evil messenger. They had pestilence. They had drought. They had all these things. Why? Because they justified their actions and they were very content in what they were doing in life. Jesus said, if I'm not your everything, I'm not nothing to you. You see, the haters of God, they pretend submission with their mouth, but their hearts are far from Him. It's one thing to say that I love the Lord, but do I live as if I love Him? It's one thing to say that I know the Lord, but do I live like I love Him? Jesus said, those that are mine will do my commandments. Those that are mine will produce righteous fruit. That's the Word of God. Let me show you a few passages of Scripture. Turn in your Bible to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 12. Jeremiah 12 and verse number 2. All right, well, I'll read just verse number 1 and we'll look at verse number 2 as well. It says, righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? You have planted them. Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their what? Their heart, their mind. You're near in their mouth, Lord, but far from their mind. What do I think about more in my life? What is my thought process? See, God, we cannot make an excuse before Him. Amen. I mean, we can put shopping, we can put anything there is out there before Him, and He will not accept it. God accepts holiness, and that is having being at peace with Him and letting His righteousness work through us. Now look over in Isaiah chapter 29, verse number 13. Well, we live in a land today that you can walk up and down the streets of Meridian or wherever in this county, in this community, and there'll be more people than not tell you they know Jesus, but do not live for Him. Do not love Him. You see, they're near in their mouth, but their mind and their hearts are where? Far from Him. Isaiah 29, verse number 13. Therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths, and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. And their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Oh, I pray that we never find ourselves there. I pray that we let the Word of God have His perfect work in us and do His work. They are near with their mouths, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That's a backslider in heart. Somebody that could mouth it, but their heart is not near unto the Lord. And you see back in Haggai chapter number 1 and verse number 12, it's so important to be honest in our worship with the Lord. It's so important to let the Word of God be our help and our strength. That when God speaks, and God will not speak until we listen and obey His voice. What was God's commandment? Consider your ways and go to the mountain and get wood and start building a temple for me. Start building a place that I will have dominion, a place that I will have a dwelling, a place that I will have a people devoted to me. And when they obeyed the voice of God, the result was God stirred their spirit. And you know what the word stirred means? It's the word O-O-R. It's the word or in the Hebrew. And it literally means He opened their eyes. They were awakened. And you know if they're awakened, and it has a dual meaning. It also means naked. They were opened in their eyes by the Spirit of God. And when they were opened in their eyes, they become awakened, quickened, alive by God. He stirred their spirit. They became naked and open before Him, and God did a great work. And until we strip all the facade out of the way and become naked before the Lord, not literally, but become naked before Him, humbled and broken before Him, He says, it's then that you'll be revived. That's what's holding us back, obeying. But it's not until we obey the voice of God until He will not stir our spirits until we're willing to obey. Because I want to tell you, God is worthy. These folks didn't know nothing about Jesus Christ. They didn't know Jesus yet was coming to redeem them. We know He came and what He's done for us. These folks didn't have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit living within them. But supposedly we do. They didn't have the complete revelation of the Word of God. But we do. And I want to tell you, we got so comfortable living a life for ourselves. We failed to see the prescription of power, which is obeying the voice of God. I want to tell you today that God is consistent. He is the same yesterday, as He was 1,000 years ago, as He is today. And the Scripture says He'll be the same tomorrow. He commands us to obey His voice. And I want to tell you, you cannot obey His voice until you have been broken before Him and willing to open up and let Him lead you. Just listen to Him. Let Him guide you. But God always sends a word. God always sends a prophet. And when He sends a prophet and He proclaims a word, and you obey the voice of God, you see what happened. Not only did they obey the voice of God, but they obeyed the voice of Haggai, by the word which He spoke of God. That's what God has sent me here to do, is proclaim His truth, to proclaim His word. Whether you really like it or not, it's not up to you. It's not up to me. Woe be unto me if I do not preach God's word. Your response is to believe what God's word has to say and receive the message from the prophet and watch what God will do in your life. God says, just line up under my authority. Let me have dominion, and I'll change. Let me show you a few passages of Scripture, what I mean by that. Turn to Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3. Amos, just a few books back. Don't even turn a bunch of pages. Just go a few books back. Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has caught nothing? Will a bird fall into a snare on the earth where there is no trap for it? Will a snare spring up from the earth if it has not caught nothing at all? If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? You're seeing some cause and effects here that's taking place that God's showing us. And listen to what he says in verse number 7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to who? To his servants, the prophets. Now turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. In verse number 20. Go back past Psalms, past Ezra, to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. In verse number 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall what? Prosper. The way God works. Now go over to Kings, 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings, a couple books back, in verse number 17. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Get away from here, and turn eastward, and hide by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Go. So he went, and did according to the word of the Lord, for he sent and stayed by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Please bring me a little water in a cup, that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for how many days? Many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by who? Elijah. You say, Preacher, where you going? You see, in some extent, I've looked at this passage many times, and I saw a conflict there. I saw it looked like a contradiction. For the Scripture says that he told Elijah that he had prepared the heart of a widow in Zarephath to do what? To provide for him. And when he gets there, she's out gathering some sticks. And she's gathering these sticks, and when she's gathering them, he walks up, and he says, I need a cup of water. Now, she's at the verge of dying. They don't have anything left in the house, and here comes this prophet commanding her to get a little bit of water. Well, she takes off to go get it. When she goes inside, while you're in there, make sure you bring me back a piece of bread. And she turns and looks at him and says, I don't have any bread. This is what I'm doing, gathering sticks. So I can go in and cook for me and my son, and when we eat it, we're going to die because it's all we got left. And she goes in, and there's never even a hint as if she heard from God. Because she hadn't yet. She heard from God when the prophet Elijah said, Go according to the word of the Lord. You see, God works through his messengers. And when she obeyed the voice of Elijah and obeyed the voice of God, God did just what he had said. And the fact that he told Elijah to go, I commanded the widow. But the command literally came when Elijah spoke the command to the woman to provide for him. She obeyed the voice of Elijah, and God fulfilled what he told Elijah he would do.
in what he did for the woman, according to the word of the Lord and according to Elijah. Why do you say I say that? Because God does nothing without speaking through his prophets first. God does nothing without speaking through his messengers first. God will bring a message just like he did in Haggai's day for you and me. And I want to tell you today, God's bringing a message to you that we need revival. And we need to be broken before God. We're dabbling and living too much for ourselves, and we need to let it go for revival to fall. And let it go. We got to let it go. Because I'll tell you, I never want to see the day when God shuts the door and seals the door on this church and says it's too late. Because I want to tell you, the Scripture says that God will close the door on the fellowship. And when he closes it, he'll close it that no man could open it. You see, the children of Israel, they were comfortable for 16 years. And you know, true, genuine revival didn't break out to the time of Nehemiah. And you know how many years later from the time Haggai prophesied the very first message? It was 74 years later. 74 years. Once the temple was built, the walls were set up. Ezra came up in Nehemiah 8. He stood up and opened the word, and all the people stood, and he preached from that morning to noon, 6 hours. And he did it for 6 days, 7 days. And revival fell. But 74 years later, after God brought a word to consider your ways and get it right. People, we cannot dabble with the things of God. God is a holy God. God has such great things in store for each one of us and our personal walk with him. But he's got great things in store collectively for us in this fellowship to see great mighty works. He is building the church, amen? Am I on the team building with him? Am I obeying his voice? You know, it's struggling. We're denominating committees getting together, Sunday schools getting together, finding folks to go to work for the Lord. Everybody's got an excuse why they can't go to work for God. Everybody's got an excuse. Well, I was offended about this, or somebody did this, or I've got too much going on at work, I've got too much doing this, and not serving Jesus Christ. God's saying, church, it's time to wake up. That's what he stirs the spirit. Wake up. It's time to arise out of sleep. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He says, wake up, O you who are asleep. Sluggards, wake up. It's time to get busy for the Lord. And I want to tell you, those that are committed already and said they're ready to go to work for God, thank you. Praise God. Jesus is going to bless you for doing work for him. It's sad. Folks tell you I'm burned out. I've been doing it too long. Well, we read this morning that when those that are wait upon the Lord, bind themselves to him, attach themselves to him, that are so attached and weeded in him, he said they shall mount up, renew strength, and mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run the race and not be weary. They shall walk the walk and not faint. You see, if you feel that way, the reason is you're not attached to Jesus. You're not waiting upon him. And the reason is there's not an obedience to his word. We just got to fall in love with him. Amen. Just fall in love with him. Back over in Haggai. When we look in this passage, wouldn't it be a great day when all the politicians and all the priests and all the people, the prophets and the prescription is there and the very presence of God shows up and we have Holy Ghost revival in our land? You see, Zerubbabel was a politician. He got things right with God. Joshua, he was a priest. He got things right with God. And then the people, it says the whole remnant in verse number 12, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. Over 50,000 people together. And it says that, praise the Lord. Then Haggai the Lord's messenger spoke the Lord's message to the people. And God said what? I'm with you, says the Lord. That kind of reminds me of where I was headed in a moment ago when I mentioned that the great commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all that you are. And when we do this, then we'll understand what the Great Commission is all about. Because what does Jesus say in Matthew 28 when he says, all authority and power has been given unto me in heaven and earth? He says, I'm the Lord of hosts. There's no reason to fear. I want you to go. And that's his message to them. Go. He says, go and get and bring it back to me. Make disciples that I may find a place that I may find pleasure in and receive glory. And he says, but remember, I'm with you. Even to the end of the age. You hear the message there? The message that God gave through Haggai to this group of people 520 years before the very birth of Jesus Christ is the same message that He gave to you and me when He left and ascended. He says, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And He says, I am with you even to the end of the age. Will we obey that voice of knowing that all authority and power has been given unto Him? That means that God has made Him what? Preeminence. That He is supreme. That He deserves first place in every aspect of our life. And when we go, it's because we have come unto Him and we receive power from Him. And we went out in His authority, in His name, as ambassadors. And we're going out to get and make disciples, that old timber, to build on that foundation. And we're bringing it back. And we're bringing it back to the Lord. And we're building Him a house. You see, the prescription for power is obeying the voice of God. One word that they got from Haggai. What a message. Don't y'all wish y'all got messages like that on a Sunday? I'm with you. Y'all go and go home. That's all they got that day. But praise God that He says, I'm with you. Because you remember when He gave the first message, what did He say? This people. He didn't say my people. He said, this people has went their own way. But when they obeyed the voice of God, He shifted from saying this people to saying, I'm with you. You're my people now. And that's the command we've got. God says, if you'll come out from among them and separate yourself from them, I will be your God and you'll be my people. I will walk with you and dwell with you. Why? Because you've given me authority over your life. And praise God that He says we can come and take and bind and attach ourselves. You know how we attach ourselves to Jesus? We just come and take that old yoke that He's got and let Him put that yoke around us. And we walk with Him. We start treading up the ground, walking with Jesus. And when we yoke with Him, attached to Him, He says, you'll mount up with eagles. When I bring in sword and fly you, I'm going to fly you. You can be an overcomer. When I give you a word to run, you're going to be able to run and you'll never get weary. Why? Because I'm running for you. When I tell you to go and walk, you just keep walking because you won't faint. Why? Because I'm doing it for you. He says, but the yoke is the yoke of authority. Jesus says, come under my authority. What is the voice of God telling us tonight? Is He saying that you've got to bring everything unto me and submit to me tonight? Totally and completely? Make a decision here tonight that I'm going to follow Jesus. That every morning I wake up, I'm going to submit to Him. I'm going to turn it over to Him. I'm going to run to Him and find out more about Him. I want Him to educate me and teach me. I'm praying that He'll send forth His light. He'll send forth His truth. That He'll lead me and guide me. That He'll bring me and present me faultless. Is that our prayer? If it's not, I pray tonight that it will be before you leave this place. But once you do it, don't count on just the decision you made today. Because God's going to hold you accountable when the sun rises in the morning. And He's going to say, you know what, Nick? You made a commitment to me yesterday that you'd love me, that you'd live for me, that you'd be loyal to me. And being you said that, I'm going to let you know today that you must deny who you are. You must be willing to bear your cross for me. And you must be willing to follow me. You know what? He's going to tell you that throughout the day if you talk with Him and hear His voice. When you go to get away, He's going to take and say, look, you yoke to me. Remember, I got authority over you. And you're going to want to run back to Him and attach and get right beside Him. Why? Because you know the power is slipping from you. Remember, those that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. Revival, amen. You'll know when the power's starting to slip, when you're getting in yourself. If you've been around Him long enough, amen, you'll know the difference. Sad thing is today, we in our churches, we haven't seen true power fall upon people's lives. I mean change in power. You see, we could offer nothing to the Lord. Let me give you this one thought. The priests used to have to wear a linen garment under their garments. And when they were handling the precious blood to bring into that holy place, they had to be so careful if they had to change their garments because they could not sweat and defile the blood. Now listen to me. Not one drop of sweat falling in that blood could ever happen. God says, just surrender to me. I don't need anything you can offer to me. Just surrender to me. If you get too much involved in this, you're going to mess it all up. Just surrender to me. You're going to defile it. And that's why we got to deny who we are. Take up our cross.